Good morning. Today is November 21st. It's a Wednesday. It's 8:47 a.m. here on the Pacific Coast of Washington State in the midst of a rather serious rainstorm. We've had like 6 inches of rain in 4 days, I think, here in the notoriously wet place south of us, Potlatch in the Skokomish River. Already flooded so much they can't tell whether the water's coming down or up. So it's kind of moot. But the Skokomish River is just notorious. That part of Mason County, it's glorious. It's beautiful. It floods constantly, so the silt is always redistributed. It's great farmland, but it's frequently underwater. Anyway, this is a Wujo that ultimately we'll get around to discussing the World Citizen stuff that I posted the other day. Part of this little planned effort of mine for Wujos and interviews and stuff about this subject. Very unusual for me. I mean, planning like that. Let's talk about some errata at the moment. And we have Kathy's health. She's doing very much better. I'm very encouraged. We're seeing real progress in a very short period of time. It is my conclusion that the heart problem she suffered was directly related to the psychiatric chemicals that she'd been taking and its effect on the body. A lot of these things have, just as an aside, a lot of these psychiatric chemicals I've done some serious research into, and they do weird things. They, for instance, work through the fat cells or the GABA part of the brain, or they deal with the adrenal hormones and this kind of thing. So they all have some level of side effect. It's well known. And in fact, most of these drugs you have to live through the side effects to see any kind of benefit. So I don't really classify them as a drug. They're condition-causing chemical. You could get the same effect if you were exposed to these chemicals in the sense of air pollution from a local factory. These chemicals, the side effects that they create are often physical in the sense of physics. They alter the physics of the and mechanics, if you will, of how the body has to deal with itself. So when they say they actually, and if you read the literature, frequently you hear the word think. We think it works on the GABA part of the brain. We think it works with the adrenal hormones, you know, or an end all of this. It's really basically they don't really have a flippin' clue that they're willing to talk about. And also they lie consistently. If you go and you read the abstracts off of any of these chemicals, you know, any of the major drugs, Prozac and Zoloft, any of them, go read the abstracts for the basic chemical that was pushed to the FDA, and you'll see that the abstract is a political document with an agenda. Just look at the language. It doesn't relate to the study underlying it. It is a sales effort. It is strictly a marketing tool and nothing else. They are pushing a position, and that's it. They're not presenting you with factual evidence of their studies and the results. Once you get into the factual evidence of their studies and results, you find out that they lie consistently in the abstract and that they're a bunch of fucktards. So, anyway, on to other things. Kathy is doing better. We're over that hurdle, and we're going to take them on in other ways. I mean, the big pharma and these guys. Speaking of, it's unusual for me in planning. One of the things I do is I see patterns. I can't help it. I don't know if I was born with it or I grew into it or whatever, but I see patterns consistently in things and so on. It's a different order of thinking. You don't really deal with the individual. You deal with individual details continuously, and then you just sort of rack them up, and there's this accumulator in your brain that says, "Whoops, whoops, hey, you know, you've seen enough details to project a pattern here. If you get three or four more, you're going to be for sure about it." So that actually is what accounts for my own, or for people's perception of my erraticness. And that is because I don't like being predictable in my own behavior, because I bore myself. So I like new stuff all the time. Anyway, so couple of things here. I had been tasked with a question as to how and why I was giving a crap about world citizenship when the end of the world is nigh. And this is a legitimate question, and it is one that I wrestle with continuously, because we find ourselves having to live in two worlds. The end of the world, the end of our world as we know it, Teotihuacan, is indeed within months. But nonetheless, we have to live through those intervening months. And I'm not just going to sit there and wait for it to occur. I take this as a really good opportunity to go on out and basically cause a whole lot of problems for those people that have annoyed me. One of our family mottos goes to the idea that I am a dog who sits alone. I chew my bone in my repose. Day will come, which is not yet, when I will bite him by whom I'm bit. Rather nasty little motto, but, you know, it works. So I'm out there causing problems where I think that these problems will aid others. And it's, we won't go into any of the motivations and so forth there, but it does sort of work. So this dual think is very difficult. We have to plan for the end of the world. We have to plan for the government not being here when the crises begin and happen, as they've demonstrated. I mean, where the hell was anybody in Sandy, you know? Where the hell was FEMA afterwards? It was up to the individuals, the people, to take care of themselves. And through the Occupy Sandy and other efforts, they demonstrated their capability, and they got shit done. What does FEMA do? FEMA comes in and says, everything must stop until paperwork is done. And that sort of brings us back to my original subject here, this whole idea of world citizenship. Why do we care? Well, let's stop for a second and continue with the idea of the end of the world. Let's just get this subject over with, because there's a few things to note here. The end of the world and time are not a fixed event. In other words, we're not sitting on a volcano, unable to flee from that volcano, watching the volcano swell and get ready to erupt with sure and certain knowledge that it will erupt and kill us in our lifetimes. This is not that situation. Basically, what we have is a shift from a known period of humanity's existence into a great period of unknowns. There is a huge risk at this point. There has been since the development of the atomic bomb, but that's a separate issue. But there's a huge risk at this point of the non-survival of our species. We're seeing species go extinct all around us, and there's no reason that we can think that we wouldn't also be a victim, except that we're a little bit smarter than some of these other species that are going extinct, and we have the advantage of technology, which allows us to somewhat modify our environment to some degree. And that is the issue. Will we have the ability to modify our environment to the degree that allows us to survive as a species? That is what remains unknown. From the remote viewing work of Courtney Brown, and from the remote viewing work of the Hawaii Remote Viewers Guild, and from the remote viewing work of this particular outfit that wishes to remain unnamed, that kindly also offered their services, we have a view of June 1 of next year, where a series of, at least one catastrophe has occurred that was significant to the planet as a whole and significant to humanity as a whole. We're suspecting, from the work that I've done with our WebBot stuff here these past, 20 years? Whew. Almost 20 years. 20 years as of 2013. Within that work, we have a descriptor that we call the Global Coastal Event. The Global Coastal Event, by its definition, is global. Not instantaneous for everybody. And which I can get into later if there's really any question about that, but there's so much water it takes a while for it to slosh all the way around the planet, so people in Finland are not going to be affected at the same time as people in Australia or Africa, nor to the same degree. This is not ubiquitous, but it is a global coastal event, and it will impact humanity as a whole. If we look at the significance of it being coastal, we can say that likely something close to 95% of humanity will be impacted at a personal level, whether they are swept by waves or not, because most people and the services of our planet are coastal-based. So even if you're inland and you were totally untouched by the event itself and you didn't get washed away by all the rain and the water and stuff that's going to be thrown into the air, you will nonetheless be personally impacted because probably 80-90% of the stuff that you need and use in some way comes from a coastal area. So this is going to be truly a planet affecting and species affecting for us, a humanity affecting event period. This period is unknown. We don't know how long it's going to last. We know that it is related to the greater scheme in which our solar system is involved, and therefore is likely to last multiple generations, simply because this is at a scale much larger than ourselves. So within this event, there is no sure and certain outcome for anybody. There's a whole series of range of potentials. that will at some point those potentials will slip into probabilities. In a mathematical sense, this can be predicted at any given point for the groups involved, and it's kind of moot. At some point, you will find that the potential for a major storm impacting you has become a probability, and then that probability shifts into a certainty, and then you've been through that experience. That does not mean you are done with the total experience that we're all going to be going through over these next few years. Our data sets run through to June of next year, in terms of the remote viewing, etc. Within our personal data here at Half Past Human, those sets run to about May, and then our stuff starts crapping out, and or actually has totally crapped out at that point and is gone blank, as though the event has occurred before May and has disrupted things to the extent that the internet is no longer a viable means for us to do work. Now, it doesn't mean the internet is totally shut down, but it may mean that there's just not enough volume that our WebBot stuff could predict itself being able to run. Make sense? So, under those circumstances, here we have the end of the world is nigh kind of thing, and yet at the same time, we have to deal with the reality that we're facing day to day. A bunch of fascist corporations running around trying to take over the planet and shove people into these little slave camps that they call nation states. They're no longer bothering to the prisons within the nation states and the FEMA camps are just to incarcerate the malcontents within the larger population, because the whole larger population is indeed incarcerated, totally encapsulated by the borders. Which brings us back to this issue. Now, one last thing on the end of the world. There's this fellow out there, Sean David Morton. He was gifted a manuscript that he fictionalized. He claims most of it is fact. There's no way of knowing how much is fact and how much is fiction. But there is enough collected information in this book of his Sands of Time that gives a suggestion that as part of the... basically, what he did was he had run into contact with what I call the breakaway civilization, what a lot of people call the breakaway civilization. It's the shadow ops. It's the people that have been reverse engineering all the space alien crap. And they collectively around the planet more or less all work together, which again gets us back to the idea of world citizenship and so on. But anyway, in Sean's book, Sands of Time, there's this concept that there's actually a small group within the larger breakaway civilization that is, if you will, management for humanity as a whole. Not trying to tell you, you know, where to go and when to eat lunch, but rather more or less trying to keep the species as a whole from being eliminated by all of the many threats that are facing us. So if they... theoretically, if these guys knew that a volcano was going to go off and, you know, wipe out 600,000 people, they may not do anything, but we don't know what their motivation is. Maybe they would do something because that particular volcano might wipe out people upon whom they are dependent, in the sense of they need the electronic facilities, or electronics being produced at certain facilities in the range of that volcano. Nonetheless, though, they would go on in and alter the facts. They may come in and use their superior technology to bleed off some of the magma, you know, that kind of thing. And that at least is the operational theory. Now, let's get to the remote viewing part of this. The remote viewing part of this, from Courtney Brown's work and from my validation studies that I had done, I didn't do them, but I had them commissioned, if you will, all of these show that after the event that we go through as what we'll call the Stage 1 Global Coastal Event, after we go through that, government is nowhere to be seen. Now, this should not surprise us. Where is government in Sandy? Where is government in Katrina? It's just not around. But this is something of a global blanketing kind of an effect. There appears to be no government out offering help anywhere after these events. So there's a whole lot of speculation that can be done about why that is the case. You know, did they all go into their underground bunkers and refuse to come out because they know there's something else coming? Because also, by the way, the remote viewing in no way goes past June 1 and in no way speaks to any further or greater catastrophes that may be awaiting us. It merely discusses this first set of parameters that we have to go through in 2013. So, if government's not around anywhere, it could be that they've gone into their hidey holes and they're simply not coming out, but they're there. Could be they've gone into their hiding holes and can't come out because of the earth changes, you know, smashing their doors or whatever. Could be that they don't come out because they suspect there's a really nasty alien race about to come on down and suck up all the human flesh that's on the planet. Now, this is in the Sands of Time book. I'm paraphrasing. But these guys, according to the material that Sean wrote, are indeed very much afraid of space alien bastards on their way here with an imminent arrival time and how we're all going to face them. And then apparently these space alien bastards, how they know this, I'm really uncertain. I didn't get a grasp of how they know these guys are motivations, etc., from the book. But in any event, they are of the opinion that, you know, we face a big nasty, and they're going to try and do something about it. So just because we have a catastrophe between now and June does not mean the end of the species. It may mean the end of the species. We're just unaware of the final outcome, so to speak. Any given individual's survival of the upcoming events are going to be entirely within their own karma. Now, I personally think that part of the events are going to be something we've been looking at for a long time, which is the expansion of the planet and the cracking of the Pacific Plate. I now think, that there's real evidence showing that the northern Pacific Plate will participate, that we'll get a big crack up here. This is not good for the islands that are between the northern Pacific Plate crack. These islands include Midway, Hawaii, the Marquesas, all of the Carolines. It'll probably flow that direction is the way I'm thinking, simply because of the rotation of the Earth. It'll more or less go from the pole area to the south, but it'll twist off to the west as the planet is rotating. And so it won't be directly from the north. It'll probably be from the northeast in most cases, and would seem to be the major component that would affect these islands. And it'll also affect the west coast of the U.S. I don't think it'll do Alaska too much damage, because it'll be on the other side of that. There will be some, but not as bad as the tsunami that'll rake down the coast here. This is a supposition. If the plate cracks as we think, and the place that I think, and I have evidence that I can go into, if you really care about it, it's kind of moot in terms of we won't know until it happens. But if that is the case, then the California coast and the Oregon coast and the Washington coast, down through to Baja, likely, are going to not be good places to be. The strike for the United States, for the North America, will be oblique, in that the angle will be from the northwest for us, and headed down to the southeast. The major portion of that thrust will probably be from southern Washington coast into, say, northern Baja, simply because the coast of the U.S. curves out and will meet this thing. So some areas of California, even though the tsunami will be further advanced and have lost some energy by the time it gets there, because they will be reaching out in a higher angle into the angle of incidence of the wave force itself, they will get a higher level of wave than we'll see here in Washington or Oregon. Something to be advised. The Pacific Plate crack may be part of the May, prior to June 1 events. It may occur this year for all I know, and just may be incidental and even a small precursor to a larger event, but doesn't seem to be good in any event. So, and it may be that they'll thwart this. Maybe the 15 and his group of breakaway civilization guys with all these really cool technologies will go on out there and, you know, gently ease apart the plate, and we won't have these incidents. However, that at the moment doesn't seem all that likely. But it does bear thinking about. We have data showing that people are alive and are helping themselves and coming out of this thing in next June. So let's go right into our major component of things, now that we've wasted a whole lot of time here. The world citizenship deal struck me as a really good idea for a lot of reasons. Not only right now in the present time, with the Zionists going batshit and killing a lot of innocent Semitic people in Palestine and murdering people right and left everywhere, actually, but also after the event. This is sort of a dual strategy kind of thing. If the government goes away, if the nation-state government that we have now goes away and all these people go in their hidey holes, it would be nice when they came out of their hidey holes that the rest of humanity was fully organized and took away their power and their nation-state status as they're coming out. Saying, yeah, you all can come on out and join us, but, you know, we ain't going to have this nation-state domination bullshit anymore. Well, one way out of that is to think about how humans operate. So let's think about a few things here. Humans operate first at the individual level. And then humans operate at a family level. And then humans operate at a clan or a tribe or a community level. And then they operate at the nation state level. Now, if you're an individual in a family and there's a squabble within that family, what happens? Well, these days, modern society in the Americas, somebody from, quote, authority shows up. You know, one of your neighbors calls the cops and there's a domestic dispute. Well, basically, that is the community coming on in and setting the behavior standards for the family. So this is how this works. We've got these, like, four levels. The individual, family, community, and nation. At each level higher than the level below is the level in which domination is asserted as to behavior standards. And that's really all we can enforce. We can't change mindsets or any of this kind of stuff. All we can do is enforce basic behavior standards. So, if we note that the Child Protective Services is a threat, if you're too loud with your domestic dispute and all of this, there's all these various levels at which the community involves itself with the nation state in enforcing the behavior standards for the family below it. And you'll even see the family sometimes threaten the individual, errant teenager, with... with involvement with the community and or the nation state. In other words, you know, if you keep misbehaving, I'm going to, you know, throw you to Child Protective Services, something like that. So each layer below the layer above it uses that layer as a psychological tool as well as a physical threat for behavior control. And that's really all it is. Now, nation states have a real problem because there is nothing above the nation states to control their behavior. We're all on a single planet. Now, if we were on multiple planets and the nation states were fighting it out in the asteroid belt, who would care? Who would give a rat's ass except for the asteroids? But in our case, we wouldn't because it wouldn't be affecting us. But our whole planet is so tightly bound that any activity from any of these errant nation states affects all of us continuously and individually. You know, we're all, especially with modern communications, ever since the invention of the telegraph and the first... In 1844, the first transcontinental telegraphs, and then by the late 1850s, the beginning of the global state with the international cables under the ocean. Now, from that period on, humanity was different in the same way that the internet has made us different, and we can't tolerate this behavior anymore. It's no longer a case of violence in a family. It's no longer a case of violence in a community. We've now got the issue of violence at the nation-state level and nothing to enforce behavior standards. The problem is with these damn nasty nation-states is they've got, like, serious damn weapons. 16,000 megatons minimum in existence in the... region of the Middle East alone, so that they could easily destroy most of the planet just if, you know, the Russians, Chinese, and all these people decided, okay, that's enough. We're going to start chucking this stuff right and left. So basically, my contention is we need something. We need something to enforce the minimum acceptable behavior standards on the nation states, and that the way to do that, in my opinion, is at a global level, at a world level, since the whole idea of, you know, space aliens, you know, what David Wilcock calls intergalactic management, enforcing our behavior is bullshit. You know, a space alien, even if they were capable of doing so, would not meddle. If they do come on in, it's for their agenda, not for ours. And you can be quite sure of that. And that's what 15 and the guys in the Sands of Time book are all whipped up about, is the thought that there might be these space aliens coming on in for their own damn agenda about to kick our butts. But in the meantime, you know, caught between the solar system shifting and the unknown survival of our species and then the dreaded space aliens, we also have to deal with the pedophilic bunch of bastard bankster Zionist fuckers that control the planet. Well, here's the thing. We can't do anything about solar system. And until they show up here, we can't kick the aliens in the nuts and send them home. But there is one thing we can do, and that is we can set limits on the behavior of nation states and the pedophilic bastards that use the nation states to keep their power bases going. And we can do so in a rather easy way, and that is by basically opting out. Because you don't have to participate with the nation state madness. True, they claim they own you, but that claim in their own mind and in their legal authority and in everything they've got going for them is entirely based on documentary fiction, on fiction at various different levels, piled on fiction, piled on abstraction, and so on. And what they have done is they have masked what has been described as common law among humans with various forms of documentation overlaid upon documentation until everybody's got so confused you can't do anything. And then they have all this mind control and all the other crap going on, which prevents us from ever really examining the issues that are thwarting our progress as a species. So I sat around a long time, and I know we've got problems coming with these corpo-fascist bastards and their vision of the planet, and besides which they owe me a great debt of pain because of their behavior, in which I won't go into. And so I decided, well, you know, we got a few months here. Let's take a stick and poke these guys and see what we can do. So one way to do this is to find a really good stick. One of the things I'd thought about was, well, it's quite true that if one stands up and declares oneself to be a live being, I won't use the Latin, we won't go into that, but if you declare yourself to be a live being with the blood flowing and the lungs breathing and all of that, and not subject to nor surety for the legal fiction that was created at the time of your birth, by the registration process in court, then all kinds of interesting things happen. So we have demonstrable evidence that the nasty, evil, bastard, pedophilic fuckers that run the planet, that infiltrated Freemasonry, that control the Vatican, that are at the core of the British royal family, and that run the aristocracy within the United States, all of these guys are hugely, hugely vulnerable in one area, and that is documentation. It's kind of like the Vogons in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Was Douglas Adams telling us something that, you know, without documentation, those guys don't do a damn thing. World's going to end, you know, or about to be shot. Oh, sorry, you know, can't step aside. Got to have the documentation for evasive maneuvers. And that's basically the view that I got of all these powerful people and the mechanisms that work it. Well, I started doing some research, and there were other people that also arrived at the same series of conclusions. And in 1948, this guy by the name of Gary Davis had reached this set of conclusions that I have, and then come to the conclusion as well that documentation is their vulnerability, and so he started creating his own and insisting that they accept it under their own rules. And here's the thing, they created a whole series of rules that forced them to accept it. And because they are so documentation bound, they're like the Vogons. They look at the documentation, they behave it as though it's actually a real thing there, and they're trapped in their own little mindset. And so, in 1948, the United Nations made this Declaration of Human Rights that Gary Davis used as the basis for the world citizen, the world government of world citizens. And here's the thing: I'm not asking anybody to join the world government. I don't give a rat's ass what you do. But if you want a way out, I think this one works. And here's why. There's no board of directors on this world government. There's no Congress. There's no president that can tell you to do anything. There's no extra individual authority over the world citizen. At the very top of the pyramid is the individual world citizen. And there's a whole lot of power vested in that individual world citizen. If you read through Gary's books and look at the philosophical underpinning for why and how this organization, which is a self-organizing collective, works, you will note There's no attempt to coerce. This is a service organization. It is not service to self. It is service to others, service to the planet. But it is doing so with a rational basis, and that rational basis is common human law. If you want to investigate that, go and start looking at the Franco Collins stuff off of my site. There's a lot of people talking about common law and how to set yourself up as a common law citizen and so behave. Now, see, here's the beauty of it. Right now, the nation states have us all in a nasty position. So, for instance, I'm sitting here in the United States, and I'm saying that, you know, the Queen of England is a badly dressed pedophile and or an apologist for her husband and son who are pedophiles and her whole family of pedophiles. And beyond that, these people exist because of crime, that they are stealing, they produce nothing on the planet. They're worse than parasites because they organize other parasites. And so, and they've got a whole station of or a whole mechanism for parasitic control forever. So I think this Queen of England ought to be removed in that power. I don't give a shit about the woman. I don't care about that other than I think she's probably twisted and destroyed by her association with pedophiles and the entities that take over these guys. But that's an aside. But their power needs to be removed. Now, if I go to say that same statement on the soil in England or in Scotland or in Ireland still, I think, and Wales, I will be arrested for defaming the Queen or some spurious charge relating to the words I've just used, because I'm standing on, quote, the Queen's soil. Now, if I were to put a box or something and step up on that and say it, well, then I'm excused because I'm not standing on the Queen's territory. So these are weird little documentary fictions that are created in order to allow these people to exist and have control over us. You know, who would not rather stand on a box and not risk arrest, as opposed to stand on the soil, force the issue, and risk arrest. So they set up these mechanisms whereby there's the path of least resistance, ultimately leads into control. Now, this is a fiction. I'm saying the same words in both places. The earth under me attaches to the same planet. There's no line anywhere that the earth expresses that says the queen owns this on this side and not that on the other side. This is all a fiction, backed by documents, which are a fiction. So it was sort of like, well, if they operate in that world and they're vulnerable to documents, then let's seize the initiative and take over the document mechanism from them. And that's basically what Gary is allowed to occur. Gary, I don't think, ever set up with the idea that he was going to create an organization, he was going to be the king of the world or anything. But he did allow a space to be created. He was pivotal. He dedicated his life to it. And we have now the world government of world citizens. Now, this is not a government like we think of based on nation states. So get that idea out of your head. But the terms have to be used in order to quell the nation state problem. So we need to have something above nation states that is not the breakaway civilization, that is not the New World Order, that is not the useless United Nations, which is, you know, the pedophile's favorite tool for coercing everybody. But we need to have a really effective tool as world citizens for kicking the shit out of the bastards that have destroyed the planet and are continuing in that basis. Well, hey, the world government of world citizens is that tool. We can create another one just as easy as Gary did. We could go to the trouble and so on, but I don't see the point. There's millions of people already signed up for this. Demonstrated its effectiveness in issuing passports and other documents that pass legal tests. It forces the legal system and governments to cave. It's great reading Gary's books about how the government has reacted to it, because basically when in doubt, government does nothing. Authority does nothing because they don't want to force the issue, because it always brings them up to another point of vulnerability. And bear in mind, there is no such thing as government per se. There's no beast you can go on out and say, ooh, ooh, that's government. Instead, there are all these individuals who are operating within mind-controlled boxes and very narrow parameters for their behavior. So you can go in and predict how most bureaucrats are going to behave in any given situation, because they have very few motivations. Most of the motivations is, don't cause me problems. My life is shit. I don't want any more problems. And so if you can offer them a way out for any problem you may have caused, usually they'll take it. Anyway, Gary has presented a lot of this stuff in his books. They're worth reading. There's a lot of his material online, free. in various blogs and discussions and so on. And all of this relates to the whole and builds from human common law, which is my point. If I get into a dispute with a guy in Scotland, okay, there's this hot-headed Irishman I know over there, and I like him a whole lot, and we get into a dispute over my cursing out his favorite rooster. And so he thinks I'm a real bastard, and because I have cursed his favorite rooster, and his favorite rooster is no longer making the hens happy. And so he calls me out on a dispute. Well, common law between humans allows us to sit down and resolve that. If we need other humans to act as intermediaries, we can do so based on common law. Common law is basically a humanity-wide lowest common denominator of acceptable behavior between individuals living in the present. Now, that's a real key. If you notice this, when you go to the World Citizens WorldService.org site, they say, and when you sign up to be a world citizen, and I would not have pursued this had I not seen that in there, they want people that are living in the present. Well, if you're living in the present, you're here now. You're not basing your actions on some future gain promised by religion, politicians, or something else. You're not part of factionalism, which is based on an abstraction. You are living here. So somebody living in the now looks at Max Kaiser video, and he sees Max Kaiser doing things that are positive for humanity as a whole. Somebody living not in the now, somebody living in an abstraction, watches that same video and says, oh, disgusting Max Kaiser, communist, socialist. Well, let's look at the difference there. The person who is saying that Max Kaiser is a socialist or a communist is expressing and labeling Kaiser for behavior that individual thinks is communistic or socialistic. Now, but that individual has crossed a threshold in my mind. That individual is not living in the present. By labeling Max Kaiser a socialist or communist, it would allow this individual to be coerced into killing or doing atrocious things to Max, because he would not be dealing with a human being. He would be dealing with the abstraction in his mind of the socialist Max Kaiser or the communist Max Kaiser, not the human being Max Kaiser, who we all know and love and who takes a real good care of us all and is not mean to the wonderful woman in his show. And so this guy would see a socialist and yes, you can kill socialists because you're not a socialist, or you can kill communists because you're not a communist, or you can kill Jews because you're not a Jew, or you can kill Arabs because you're not an Arab, or you can kill Palestinians because you're not a Palestinian. These are all artificial constructs. Basically, it comes down to you violating your moral integrity and killing a human. Now, if I'm going to kill a human, I got to have a really damn good reason for it, and I ain't going to do it for your reason. I don't care who you are. I'm very moral, vegetarian, I don't even kill to eat. I will kill to defend myself, and for other circumstances, that's not going to be a doubt, but I ain't going to do it for your reasons, and I don't care if you are the nation state or my neighbor. I simply do not kill for others' ideas, nor do I commit atrocities on other individuals, nor do I label them, because all of that ultimately leads to the act of committing atrocities. If you can get people to believe absurdities, such as socialism and communism are actually individuals and humans rather than an abstraction that you happen to think about in a particular way relative to the behavior of other humans, that you've been thought or schooled to think is that way, by the way, then you can go out and kill them. And see, that's the real problem. We can't have that anymore. We need all of our world citizens to stand up and behave under common law as competent stewards of their lives and the planet, to be fucking adults. And I don't see that in the politicians. I don't see that in the Robomneys or the, any of these bastards, any of the guys in Israel, the BBs, any of these people. They are not adults. These are not people living in the present. These are people that have got their minds all fucking warped out by some abstraction, spiraled in on it, and they're using that abstraction as a basis to go out and commit atrocities and kill other humans. Now, we need all the humans we can get, because we got tough times coming, and some of these humans may have enough brains to get us out of this. And so you go kill some poor 8-year-old girl in Palestine, and you don't know that 10 years later she was going to invent a device that would save your fucking grandkids. And you kill her because, hey, she's a Palestinian. She's a non-human. She's a goy. She is a cattle in the language of my Zionist mindset. Now, I'm not a Zionist. I'm just playing a role there. And that's how these people are thinking. Because they are living in a level of a non-real, non-present moment, they are capable of this action. Any world citizen living in the present moment will not be capable of such action. There are key ways to live that will prevent such things as factionalism taking over the world citizen, world government of world citizens. We won't have that kind of a thing because of the admonition that you must be in the present moment. And if someone wants to argue with me and they start bringing up abstractions, what I have to then do is force back on them. These abstractions and labels are projections that are coming from your mind and do not reflect the state of affairs actually occurring in the present moment. And since we are at risk in the present moment, if you're not living in the present moment, you're not aiding us, so get the fuck out of the way. And that's basically what we're going to end up with. The nation state is an impediment to the survival of the species. It must be done away with. We need to do this in an organized, coherent way. Anarchy will not allow our species to move forward. Anarchy is not a solution. It is a sop to a damaged mind and an emotionally immature being. Emotionally mature beings are competent stewards of their lives and attempt to express that competency wherever they go and have their lives impact all other life positively. It is true that it is equally valid to be a negative being and try and create negative forces in the planet or in the universe. There's nothing saying the universe favors one over the other. But in general, competent citizens or the competent citizen expression within common law favors only a positive viewpoint. You might one day find us arguing that otherwise. So here's where we're at. I am thinking in terms of a dual sense, because when we come through this thing in next June and we're all trying to put together a basic survival plan for the next few days, weeks, months, and so on, let us not forget that this is a marvelous opportunity to stop being fucktards and nation-state tools and start being true world citizens in a world government and collectively running our planet. Everybody wants to rule the world, so here's your chance. Going out, become a member of some group, or declare yourselves independent of all groups and go that way. It's equally valid, but you won't have the power that you would get if you were part of the world citizen, world government of world citizens. Which brings up something. This is based on common law. So here we have, for instance, this big brouhaha that has occurred over this past year of David Wilcock promoting this Section 8 fellow Drake and the idea of mass arrests that we're going to be taking all of the evil bastards out. Now, David Wilcock is exhibiting gullible behavior, okay? He believed the lies that were promulgated by the people that told him they were the truth, and he acted on them. It is the underlying nature of the thought, though, of these mass arrests that we need to examine. It was an attractive thought. Everybody liked it. Vast quantities of people thought this was just cool as shit and that they just couldn't wait for it. And in fact, it was a something of an internet sensation. And people in their otherwise right mind were emotionally captivated by the idea, at least for a few minutes. Why is this? Well, because it represents a true and real need. So in that sense, David Wilcock, while even though he was gullible to the people that claimed to be accurate sources, he was expressing a real need that is flowing through humanity. We don't want to see this shit anymore, right? We want to get it all cleaned up and get back and get back on track, so to speak, as a human species, whatever that may mean. But as an expression of that, we know that we got to get rid of all the banksters and all the people that are corrupt and causing all the problems at the top. And so the expression of the mass arrest I saw, and even spoke about it on the Red Ice interview and so forth, was not a bad thing. The disinformation was bullshit, and it was bad, but the expression itself coming from humanity is part and parcel of this whole desire for a world government operating under common law, etc. Now, that brings us to this specific point. In the Drake fantasy that Wilcock promulgated, there were going to be mass arrests. And they never really got down to it. They said, oh, the U.S. military would do it, and so on and so on. But when you understand how the world functions, what authority, legal document authority, would the U.S. military have for arresting the CEO of a South American corporation or arresting Ratzinger the Pope for all of his crimes against humanity? There would be no legal basis in any, and there's in fact no court that could legally try these individuals that are transnationalists and are committing crimes against humanity and not necessarily crimes against a nation state. Again, a limitation of the nation state. It can only deal with the shit that it claims within its borders and those individuals it claims it owns. And by the way, if you accept an American passport, a U.S. passport, you are in de facto agreeing that they own you and they can control your movements. The world citizen, world passport is not that way. They don't refuse to issue you a passport because they don't like your politics, or because they want to control you. They don't refuse to issue a passport. They issue you a passport. If you misbehave with it, you are subject to being affected and arrested and dealt with as a, in whatever territory you misbehave in, but they are not prejudicial. Nor is there any kind of an attempt for a political, religious, or any other agenda through the world government of world citizens. You need a passport, you're a displaced stateless person, or you need a passport and you're not telling them why. Doesn't matter to them, they will issue you a passport because you are a de facto world citizen. You're a human, you're requesting it, you're stating you're a human, you live on Earth. If you lived on Mars, I don't know how they would deal with it. But they'll issue you a world citizen passport and documents here for the regular issuing fees. And bear in mind, in some places, passports cost thousands of dollars because they're control mechanisms. You try and get a passport in Africa, less than $1,000 and you're getting a bargain. And some of the Arab countries, they want $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 for passports, and they've got thousands of dollars in non-refundable fees, and mostly they turn people down because they want to control everything. So, this is not that kind of a world government. This is an alternative to the New World Order, which would be that kind of a government. If we allow them to implement the world government, that's what you're going to get. You're going to get the new fucking world order run by Papa Bush, and it'll be pedophiles run rampant, and the organizations of the government will be used by the pedophiles to feed their gross needs. As we see happening in England all the time. It's just marginally surreptitious now. They just barely hide it with Jimmy Savile and Prince Buttfucking Charles and all of his buddies in the Royals are, they're no different than Bush and all of these guys. Now, over here in the United States, they got to be a little bit more hidden about it because occasionally people rise up football coaches and other pedophiles are forced to resign and kill themselves and stuff. But it never goes to the politicians. It never goes that high. That's going to change. But how is it going to change? Well, the way it's got to change is a extra larger than national authority. What is larger than the nation state? Well, the planet. Who runs the planet? All us humans. And that's basically where we're at. If you want to run the planet with all the rest of us humans, hop on board. One way or another. I'm not saying world government from world citizens is the only operation. You can create another one, and maybe it'll be superseding this one. But we need to do something. And there is no national authority that will do anything beyond its own borders because of the very definition of the nation state. It can't. And we don't have a situation where we actually have a moral religious structure on the planet in any way, shape, or form that would be able to impose behavior restrictions on these bastards. So at some point, we have to do it ourselves. Now, I'm thinking that, well, we might be able to get enough people whipped up over the course of the next few months to make an impact before the catastrophe. That kind of an impact could be that we'll start actually shifting government, but that's not really my goal. My goal is to get people thinking about how they wish to be and what kind of a world they wish to be in after our upcoming Global Coastal event, and to do those things now that get their mindsets ready. One of them is to establish themselves as a world citizen, to break down the nation-state barriers, which won't exist after the global catastrophe. There will be people right up here in the nation-state north of me, Canada, that will be needing help, just like the people in the nation state of Oregon, south of me, are going to be needing help. And the artificial borders between these states are not going to stop us from helping each other. At that point, it's a different world. Now, right at the moment, let's argue the other side of the world citizen approach, at least in here in the United States, real quickly. And that is the idea of a de jure by law, stated by law. First off, slight deviation. Religious bastards, big pharma bastards, medical bastards, and lawyer bastards will always use Latin to confuse you. At no time do Do you have to take that bullshit? If someone uses Latin terms, make them define them to you. It is not a it is a sign of ignorance, but ignorance is not a crime. Ignorance is easily correctable. If someone says amica curiae to you and you don't know what it means, tell them, define that term. If you're not speaking my language, you're attempting to confuse me and control me, fuck you, you know? I mean, you got to be serious about it. You don't have to be brutal as I am. You can be polite and firm. I actually have been able to manage that a few times. but in any event, but you need to be insistent. There's no reason that you have to be controlled by others' use of foreign terms in their language. Insist that they speak your term language or address it right then and there. Don't let it continue because it's an attempt to control you. So we have a situation here where we've got the end of the world coming. We can correct our mindset. By the end of the world, I mean the end of the nation-state world and the imposition of very large government on everybody all over the fucking planet, especially with predators and all of the other nasties they've got going. Now, the mindset for us is going to be, when we come out of this, is going to be survival, and it'll be immediate. But at some point, and I think earlier than the catastrophe, we really need to think about what kind of a world do we want after the immediacy of survival is taken care of. So, you know, not June of next year, but December of next year and June of 2014. We're going to be getting into deeper and deeper in shit. There won't be government around. We need to set up some kind of an understanding amongst us. We can start solving the problems now that we know we will encounter then. We can solve these problems now by creating a basis for us to deal with each other as competent citizens and stewards of our planet after the government's out of the way. And so I think that basis is common law. One way to introduce this concept is to start irritating the powers that be now by suggesting that people join the world government of world citizens because it really annoys the crap out of the elite, if for no other reason. If you never do anything with it, just that extra single person jumping on this particular bandwagon is going to irritate the fuck out of somebody in the power elite just because they don't want anybody doing this. And it's, you know, I admit it's a small little bit of revenge, but every little bit helps. So, we've got that business, okay? I think that's really about it. Now, I'm going to try and set up some interviews here where I'll be interviewing other people as well as being interviewed by other people to discuss the subject. Some of the other people that I'm going to be interviewing are really hot on the de jure citizen approach. That's where you declare yourself. Sorry about that. Didn't mean to get distracted here. That's where you declare yourself to be a in the United States. You declare yourself to be a citizen of the local republic, the state in which you live. So I'm a citizen of the Republic of the State of Washington. And I can be a de jure citizen of the Republic of the State of Washington by going through certain hoops, documents again, and telling the local nation state that I am not accepting the federal, the United States, but in fact I live in one of the states that is united with the others. And that I am only affected by those laws that are within that republic. But still, you are basically within a nation state. You've just ceded yourself to a smaller, pledged your political alliance to a smaller nation state. You've thwarted to some extent the federal republic's, or the federal nation state's ability to come on in and fuck with you, but you haven't eliminated it because you're now subjecting yourself willingly to the laws and so on of the local nation state. Now, within the world government for world citizen of world citizens, you have no need to, you know, unswear allegiance to the United States or anything like that. You don't have to renounce any damn thing. But at the, you're not also involved with a nation state and its laws. So if, for instance, I was being persecuted unjustly by the Republic of the State of Washington, as a world citizen, I can invoke common law to protect myself from some of their document-based persecution and pursue it that way. I have to do it correctly. I have to be an upstanding world citizen. I have to be a competent steward of the of my own affairs and proceed accordingly, but it is doable. And it is because the world citizen common law supersedes the nation state. And you have to understand, as Thomas Paine gets into repeatedly, the idea that there is a contract between the governed and those who govern between government and the citizens is kind of bogus, because that is not really the case. Thomas Paine was at great points, took a great effort to point out to us that first comes the citizen. Government doesn't exist ahead of the citizens. It is an abstraction that is basically built off of the agreement between citizens that they shall mutually govern themselves. So all power at all points in the power pyramid derives from this supposed contract between government and the governed, which does not exist. The contract is between individuals governing themselves at its lowest possible level. Everything else is an abstraction and an attempt to seize power from those individuals, and has been used effectively for generations, I might add. But now we're at the point where common law can reassert itself, and it has been doing so through the world government for world citizen. Of world citizens. If you read Gary's travails and travels, you'll see what he's been able to accomplish. And now what we need is about, you know, 4 to 5 or 6 million more Gary's going out and insist on our rights as world citizens to impose limitations on the bad behavior of the nation states. It is this reason that the whole flaw of the nation states concept that and the inability of nation states to ever govern themselves, because there's no greater authority and no extra legal authority beyond their own within their own borders, and thus they have no fallback or legal basis document wise to take any other behavior than what is prescribed by the people within their borders, and that's why we're at this terrible state now. That's why I don't want to join the de jure movement and declare myself a de jure citizen of the Republic of the State of Washington. First off, state of Washington, it's a small little republic, and it's going to be subjected to the whims of the larger republic, and I'll have to continually fight that. Rather, I would approach this as saying that I live by common law, I'm a competent world citizen, I don't fuck others over, and I won't be fucked by others. So I'm going to stand up for my rights as a world citizen. And if the nation state has to fall and has to crumble to the force of common law and the other world citizens, so be it. It's outlived its usefulness anyway. We don't need it anymore. And there's many different ways we can do everything the nation state does and do it much better and save ourselves all kinds of problems and eliminate the hold of the pedophilic pope, you know, and the other royals and all of these problems. The corruption of the top comes from the nation state being taken to its extreme. If we remove the nation state, their whole power base disappears. And so that's what I've done. I've removed the nation state from my life by declaring myself to be a member of the world government and a world citizen. Now, there's some really cool parts of this that we have to really consider. I had this Russian woman once, gorgeous Russian woman, as many of them are, ask me, "Are you a serious man?" And of course, she said it in a nice accent, you know, that just this melts you right away. But she wanted to know if I was a serious fellow, you know, or was I, there was some Russian word for it, which I could not even pronounce, let alone remember at this point, that basically is a, describes a dilettante, somebody who is not serious on the planet, is not serious about themselves or anything else. And I am not that way. I am a serious individual. And so I approach things seriously and I do a lot of research. And I agree with Bucky Fuller that it's time that we set out inventing the systems that will replace the evils that are causing us problems. No point in trying to fight the problems or the evils or the bastards at the top. Let's just simply invent a system and replace them and they'll go away. And, you know, the sun will come out, birds will sing, and life will be good. Now, here's the thing. The world government for world citizenship, of world citizen, offers us all a great opportunity. If I were not so constrained by my healthcare activities for Kathy and others, then I would probably volunteer to, and that's something about the world government, by the way. Nobody gets paid. It's not like there's taxes or any of that kind of crap going on. This is volunteerism at its ultimate. So under those circumstances, I would volunteer for the world government's police force with the express intent of beginning the mass arrests that Drake and Wilcock expounded on that are basically fiction. But from the world government viewpoint, you could make that fiction fact, because the world government of world citizens has authority over nation states and anything that happens on our fucking planet. And so we would go and we'd arrest these bastards and we'd say, "Thou shalt not. Your behavior is bad." and we're not going to tolerate it anymore. Now, that would be a great opportunity. There's no need for a world government army, because we are all on a single planet, and we're not fighting each other. And we don't need an army to protect ourselves from ourselves. There's no such thing as national security at the global level. So we don't need the breakaway civilization to be off doing all this weird crap that they're doing. And so we'll soon rein them in as well. As world government of world citizens, we will simply constrain them through their feed tubes of all the money and everything else they're stealing. You remove the nation state and they disappear as well. Or rather, they're exposed. They don't disappear. They'll have to come out of the woodwork. And they'll have to sit down and deal with us on a common law basis. Now, one last thing here. And this is a bit of a personal issue. You know, I'm going to apologize to an individual here. I don't know if he'll ever listen to my words. But I am apologizing, and it's over the issue of labeling. And here's, I'm apologizing for being a harsh bastard and having to point out that I thought his behavior was not in his best interest. And I may have done so a little too brutally. I'm too harsh for most people to take. I forget we don't live on the mat, right? And on the mat, everything is real. You're living in the present. Someone's about to hit you in the head. You'd better react with it or to it and deal with it effectively. Aikido puts all these other constraints in terms of being the way of peace, and you don't want to injure someone. But nonetheless, you're always in the present on the mat. And so I forget that. I've spent too many hours, too many years in the gym, in dojos. And so when I get out into the real world, I forget not everybody lives that way. So my apologies to my poor unnamed friend. I really hated to have to do that, but I was just struck by the whole situation. And the issue is labeling. So, for instance, I try not to label individuals. I may inadvertently label individuals. Now, I have no problem labeling groups. So, for instance, pedophiles as a group are terrible, nasty, evil bastards, and there's just no getting around it. And I'll label them all to hell and gone because that's how I think about it. But I wouldn't label an individual a socialist. I wouldn't label an individual a pedophile. I would have to. There are individuals out there that are pedophiles, and I will so call them that for their behavior, but. I'm not calling those individuals evil, rotten, nasty bastards, even though that behavior is expressing just that kind of thing. These people are twisted and controlled and suffering in their own way that causes these outbreaks of behavior. It's not good behavior. It doesn't forgive these individuals. Doesn't mean we want the behavior to continue nor the individuals to continue into that. It's not in any way giving them an out. It is an understanding of the complex nature of what it is to be alive and be human. Excuse me. It's an expression of living in the present. So I try, mostly I succeed, I think, in not labeling individuals. And I object to others who label individuals. Now, I have no problem with someone labeling me because I just don't give a rat's ass, right? I just don't care. And if someone were to come to me and say, I find your behavior in this regard bad or reprehensible or so on, I would certainly stop and look at my behavior and its impact on them. Because that's not labeling. That's bringing to my attention something that I do, a behavior, a motion, an action. And those can be corrected. These are not mindsets. These are not prejudicial casting of my own projections onto someone else. These are behaviors that I'm exhibiting that are causing issues with someone else. Now, I may continue with that behavior because I may be doing it deliberately and so on. So I get a lot of people that will bitch that I swear too much. Well, I use that language quite deliberately. I swear, I curse, use those kinds of words quite deliberately for the effect under the circumstances. So I will continue to do so. And it is nonetheless rude, it is offensive, but there are times that I think that rude and that offensiveness needs to exist in order to create a certain mindset in the communications I'm putting out. But it's fair. I accept the criticism. It is not good language, and there are people that don't like it. I'm not particularly afraid of words. There are people that react to words negatively, emotionally. That's not my bent, but I'm aware of that, and I try and use it judiciously. It's not a wholesale. But as a rule, I don't think I really label individuals, and that's something we need to be aware of. If you want to criticize somebody, that's fair. Jump all over their case, get on their actions, tell them why and where and how their actions are offensive or negative and this kind of thing. But to label the individual bad is not good. And it is a bad behavior itself. That behavior of labeling is what I'm objecting to because of what it does to the people that do the labeling as well as the rest of us. For instance, if you label someone, you fall into the same trap that Voltaire keeps talking about. If you fall into the idea of absurd, allow them to get you to believe in absurdities, they can get you to cause atrocities. And that's what it is. An absurdity is an abstraction. An abstraction is a label. If you label someone, you know, socialist, communist, etc., etc., they can get you to kill them, and you shouldn't be doing that. And I tell you, those individuals that have killed under these circumstances, when they go through the bardo, they will understand what I mean. And it's terribly sad, terribly, terribly sad. It need not be this way. And so I'm working hard now as a member of the world government of world citizens to do what I can as a responsible steward of this planet. So, for instance, I see a problem. I stop and I fix it. I don't wait for officialdom. I don't wait for government. Government or officialdom shows up and gives me crap about my fixing the problem. I will whip out my world citizen authority and say, you do not have authority over me. You are not the boss of me. You are not the boss of this situation. Your authority is limited to the nation-state boundary, and I invoke a higher authority, which is the world boundary. And there are millions, and soon will be tens of millions and perhaps hundreds of millions, of other world citizens who have joined me in this and whom I am joining. This is a self-organizing collective. There's nobody coercing anybody, telling us to do squat. But there's shit that needs to be done, crap that needs to be picked up, and it's time to get to it. Especially since we don't have that many months before we're going to get hit really hard. And at that point, the world truly changes in a shock mode. And when the shock mode hits all the sheeple and they come on out, that'll be the time to start the education process. That'll be the time, and when their minds are freshly broken open, when we break open the head and allow the emotions to come out and for them to live in the present, then we need to have a few world citizens around saying, guys, we can put this together. You know, we don't need government. We don't have to sit here and die waiting for FEMA. Let's get off our asses and rebuild the planet. And oh, by the way, this is how I think maybe the planet ought to be rebuilt. What's your idea? We're all in it together. And it, by the way, for the first 7 people that are of this like mind and that get their ID numbers to us, Kathy and I will write a little note and we'll send out these pins. Sorry we couldn't do more. I mean, it would just take too much time and effort to do a big swath of them or whatever. And for whatever reason, I just felt to do 7 of them. So they're there. I don't know that they'll be valuable in any way, shape, or form. But we will offer those. And it's just a matter of sending us your ID number after they issue it, and we'll send these out to you. Everybody have a good holiday if you're into that mindset. I'm a little bummed out by the Zionists killing my Semitic brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles. And it's really sad. I have to do something. That was also one of the motivations. You know, we have very little time left before we're facing ourselves as humanity without all these abstractions. It's going to be rough, but it doesn't have to be fatal. Bye, guys, for now. I'll set up some more interviews and get some more of the world citizen stuff out there for you. I'm going to find I found a couple of guys that are on the same path, but they've taken either the de jure route or they've taken the sovereign individuals on the planet route. And we'll get together and we'll do a debate about the various ways and the effectiveness of all of these in some interviews. So I'm going to try and do some interviews within the Wujos over these next few weeks. I've got a lot of shit going on. I'm working like 6 or 8 full-time jobs at the moment. And so it'll be a bit difficult to squeeze them in there, but I'm very excited about the whole idea, so I will indeed do that. Thank you very much for listening. That's been an hour of your life. Hope it was worth it.